Today on Real Life Radio.
Consecrate your cancer to God. Consecrate your finances to God. Consecrate your fear to God. What is it? Fill in the blank. Consecrate it to God. Give it to God. What does that look like? Listen, if you have to put it in a shoebox, write it down, put it in a shoebox. Lord, that's it. I consecrate this issue, this child, this parent. I consecrate them to you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Relevant Christian, part 2 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 1 with verses 12 through 14. Paul wrote his epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. Now, the theme in the book of Philippians is to have joy in any situation in life. This gives the Christian a whole new way to live out their Christianity. During the time of Paul, the educated Athenians were a people subject to the powers and the whims of their gods. But the thrilling reality of the Christian is our transformation by the one true God. In Him, we live and move and have our being. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that there are things that look routine in our lives, but when our goal is to love Jesus more, they are anything but normal. The true Christian lives a supernatural life by the power of the Holy Spirit. They are confident in Christ, and even everyday conversation centers around the gospel. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Hey, Paul! I'm paraphrasing from the Bible. Hey, Paul, the ship's going down. We're sinking! What was Paul's response? No, we're not. Can't happen. I haven't been to Rome yet. They're probably like, what's he talking about? Next thing. Hey, Paul, those religious leaders over there are plotting to kill you. That's okay. I've not planted churches throughout Asia yet. Another one. Hey, Paul, there's a group of zealots over there that are trying to hunt you down and behead you. That's okay. I haven't been to Europe yet. I haven't preached the gospel to those other nations of Gentiles. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh, there's some people. There's threats. Oh, there's this. Oh, there's that. Listen. In your life, if you don't know what God has in store for you, you're terrified. You're terrified with every bit of bad news. Anything that's happened in the world spooks you out. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to read. You don't know how to act. You don't know where you should get involved. You're a Christian, you're going to heaven, but you're like Lazarus. You're wrapped in grave cloth still. You're totally alive, but you just hop everywhere because you need to be unwrapped. And it's God's plan, it's God's vision to speak to you. He wants to tell you what your reason for living is. And when you have it, as Paul had it, you don't fear for your life because you cannot die until your work is done. And listen, I'll say this by faith. From what I've read in the Bible, it appears you don't want to live one moment longer after your work is done. Go ask Hezekiah. He really messed that one up. Right? Do you know your God like this? It's almost as though Paul waves his hand in dismissal of these dangers. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, Acts 20:22, the Bible says, "And see now, Paul says, I go bound, chained in the spirit." So his heart is burdened with this news to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. So I canceled my tickets and stayed home. No. That's what, right? He said, well, I think we should cancel. No, Paul says, look, verse 24, none of these things move me. Are you kidding? None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why, Paul? Are you crazy? Do you have a death wish? No, by no means. He says, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. Did you get that, everybody? God told him, this is what you're going to do. He hadn't fulfilled it all yet. Paul said, because Agabus had come and said, whoever owns this belt is going to be bound in Jerusalem and arrested, and it's not going to go well. And everybody's crying. The Bible says they fell on Paul crying. Don't go, Paul, don't go. And he's like, get off of me. Come on, you guys. I know what my calling is. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen. That's God's business. Do you see his resilience and his vision? Because he knew his calling. I want you to be like that. I want you to just be, you know, just get off of me, will you? I know what I'm supposed to do. I had a wonderful encounter at Costco. Somebody who works at Costco, I was walking by, and she says, Pastor Jack, you know the booth, you know where they have samples? She comes up from behind her display, and she goes, I just feel like the Lord's been telling me things. I'm just not sure, but what do you think? And I think the Lord's been pressing upon my heart to homeschool my daughter, and I stepped out, and I did it, and it's just been going great, but I just have some. And I said, that's amazing. That's awesome. That's fantastic. And it was so, so sweet because I saw her on Wednesday at church here, and she came walking up, and she just said, thanks. And it was like, yeah! I mean, she was in mama bear mode. It was amazing. Why? Listen, she was confident because she knows what she's supposed to do. How can that possibly be? Because what happened was Paul had consecrated his chains to God. Consecrate your cancer to God. Consecrate your finances to God. Consecrate your fear to God. What is it? Fill in the blank. Consecrate it to God. Give it to God. What does that look like? Listen, if you have to put it in a shoebox, write it down, put it in a shoebox. Take it over to something, I don't know, bookshelf, something, and live it out. Lord, that's it. I consecrate this issue, this child, this parent, I consecrate them to you. In Jesus' name, there it is. Every time I walk by, I'll see that shoebox, and I just, Lord, I give it back to you. Yes. Why? Because look on the other side of the trial of what it's going to produce. You can't stop. Listen, Christian, no wonder from prison and chains he writes in this book about joy. Now I'm starting to see. Well, let me tell you about the troubles that have happened to me. Paul says, go ahead. Let me tell you what happened to me after the troubles were over. It was sweet. Wow. Job. Of course, Job. Talking about suffering. Job 1:20, then Job arose, tore his robe. That's grief. That's a display of grief. Shaved his head. That's disgust and humility. Fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job and Paul were operating of the same spirit. I can't believe, listen, sorry, ladies, just tune out for a second. Guys, I can't believe how many men are talking to me now these days who didn't give diddly squat about following Jesus. You had the benefits of living with a Christian wife, and she took care of your home and dressed the kids and gave them Bible, and you did nothing. And she snapped, and she's packed up, she took the kids, and she can't handle it anymore because you've been a bum. And all of a sudden now, why is God doing this to me? No, you did it yourself. You plumb done it to yourself and your family. Be the man, follow him. If she comes back or not, be the man and follow him. Don't pursue him for what you can get out of him. Pursue him for who he is. That's what you should have been doing in the first place. Consecrate your life now to God. Secondly, in verse 13, we see that there's no accidents. There is no accidents in the kingdom of God, none. Verse 13 says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest. What an amazing statement. What, Paul, what? That my chains are in Christ. What does that mean? Number one, evident. The word evident means to shine or to be shining. It means there's no place to hide. It's amazing, amazing news. Everybody knows. Number one, the palace guard, praetorium. Some of your margins in your Bible say praetorium. This is the elite warrior. These are the elite guards. These are the guys that protect Caesar himself. So watch this. He's chained with these guys. Hey, how you doing? These guys work for Caesar. Okay? And if that's not enough, all of the rest, this is really cool. What that verse implies is Paul spoke to the elite Praetorian guards. When they got off their shift of being tied to Paul, remember, Paul wasn't tied to them, they were tied to Paul. And they got off, they went into their locker room, right, to take off all their stuff. Man, oh, you been with Paul? Yeah. Guys, I mean, he's crazy, right? But he's amazing. I just got them, he's got some people with them. And they were talking about that shipwreck. And remember that wreck, you guys, when one of our freighters went down off of Malta? That was him. He was on that boat. Remember, we thought they were all lost at sea. That guy, he was there. And then, man, that time, that big ruckus that almost caused Judea to get exterminated when this guy Paul was preaching, that's the guy. Remember they let him down in a basket, that thing? And they remember when we had to send 270 guards on horseback to get him out of there down to Caesarea? That's the guy. This guy has affected the entire empire. So anyway, he was talking today about resurrection from the dead. He said that this Jesus guy forgives sins. That's what he was saying. Can you imagine these guys talking? That's what it means. They talked. People talk, you know. They're watching you. Oh, I heard they got this thing going on at their home. And they're watching your house. They drive by, they look. Your neighbor is, oh, so how's it going? And you share something with them. Oh, wow. And then they, hey, you know what? Guess what? Hey, my neighbor, he's a Christian. People talk. That's okay. Let them talk. God is using it to further the gospel. He's using it. It's evident, Paul says. The very things that you would freak out over and I would freak out over, God is using. In Luke chapter 22, I'm sorry, this is funny. Every time I read it, in Luke chapter 22, the disciples, they've seen miracles. Things are really rolling now, you guys. In Luke 22, things are happening. Wow, this kingdom stuff's, Jesus is raising the dead. Lepers are being cleansed. The religious goofballs are freaking out. Everything's going great. There's tens of thousands of people following. This is awesome. So guess what happens? The disciples start talking. And it's all recorded in the Bible. How'd you like to have your little tweet posted in the Bible? And here's the deal. Hey, James, where do you think you're going to wind up in all this? What do you mean? I'm going to be great. I don't know. I think I'm going to be greater than you. What do you mean you're going to be greater than me? Excuse me, Peter, I walked on water too, you know. I'm going to be great. No, I'm going to be great. And the Bible says they got an argument about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine? And Jesus, they're walking. So Jesus is somewhere nearby. And they're like, keep it down. Don't be too loud about it. But I think I'm going to be the greatest. Don't let him hear that. Listen, James and John got their mother in on it. Do you remember that? The mother comes and says, Jesus, will you, when you enter your kingdom, will you make sure that when you establish your rule on earth, that my two boys, one of them sits on either side of you in the kingdom? Leave it to a mom, right? Golly. So this is everywhere. And watch, I think Peter was winning the argument. This is my speculation. I speculate. I think Peter was winning the argument. Because in Luke 22, 24, it starts there, that the dispute broke out among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And then look, Jesus gives them a lecture on leadership. And then look at verse 31. And the Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, what, if you ever repeat your name, it's not a good day. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. The word sift is to take skin off, to peel your skin off. And at that, I think Peter would have said, it's a good thing you told him no. Jesus didn't. Jesus goes on, verse 32, but I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, Peter, listen. You want to talk about leader? You want to talk about being number one? Maybe you are. Satan's been calling me up about every 5 minutes, asking for you by name. That's what the word means, by the way, to ask for Peter by name. Satan knew Peter's name. That's freaky. Yeah, hey, Jesus, Louie here. Can I have Peter? I'm gonna rip his face off. And Jesus says, yeah. Yeah, you can go ahead and rip his face off. Hey, Peter, when he's done with you, here's the deal. When he's done ripping your face off, when you recover, make sure you strengthen your brethren by telling them how faithful I was through it all. Make sure you tell them that God never abandoned you through it all. And make sure you tell them that if you can make it through Satan's skincare products of getting your face ripped off, that you'll never be abandoned. Neither will anyone who follows me. So yeah, Peter, you want to be a minister? You want to be great? This is how greatness comes. And look what happened to Peter. Precious things. Great things. Christian, if there's tough things happening in your life, God didn't abandon you, stop loving you. God cares for you. God's got a plan for you. Here's the thing. I understand. With timidity, but with faith, we come and we say, Lord, do whatever you want to do in my life. Make me more like Jesus. And then just trust him, because he knows what's best. And then finally, we end with this very quickly. Verse 14, the relevant Christian realizes the centrality of their existence. We see what's on the other side, church, of ouch. We see, as believers, what's on the other side of ouch. When he says, and most, the word is majority of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The word means fearless, without fear. They've become fearless. Who? Common Christians. They become confident. What does the word mean? Immovable. They speak with much more boldness. You couldn't sway them. What happened? They looked at Paul's suffering and his joy. Parents, your kids are looking at your suffering. Let them see your joy. And I end with this. When it says speak, you guys, the word speak means to conversation, to talk conversationally. Now that I've been in prison and God's been at work saving the Roman guards and everybody around this amazing place, guess what's happening? The believers who hear about it here in Rome are super bold now. You know, many times in life, God has to remove people from our lives for a season to get us to step up. America used to have an evangelist nationwide. His name was Billy Graham, but we kind of rested in Billy Graham's works, right? Hey, listen to this tape by Billy Graham. Or maybe us sharing the Lord with somebody, we just drive them down now to Harvest at Greg Laurie's. Well, maybe, listen, maybe there's going to come a time when Paul, the apostles of our world, are in prison. And God is saying to us, it's time for you now, Philippians, to stand up and speak up. It's time for you, church in Rome, to speak up. Because the word speak boldly means they, in casual, common conversation, spoke about Jesus. That's what it means. It's not well, we're not all preachers. He's not talking to preachers. He's talking to every Christian. Start speaking. Start telling people. Start, you say, I'm scared. Forget it. Be fearless. Because you know what? That momentary terror of sharing with somebody, you got to look on the other side. And it's total win-win. They might accept the Lord. They might not. You're sowing seed. And they waxed bold. And that's what we have to be. Let's all stand as I close with this one. It's Acts chapter 7. Stephen is a new convert to Jesus. Can you imagine a new believer going through this? The religious hierarchy arrests, or at least corner him. And pay close attention. There's a man there whose name is not yet Paul. His name is Saul. And he's the supervisor of a clan of Jews that have been authorized by the high priest to find Christians, arrest them, beat them, or kill them. And they find Stephen. And if you've ever seen this stuff online, or which I think every Christian should be watching, nothing's changed in 21 centuries, but these religious snobs started push Stephen around. They're yelling at him, top of their lungs, pushing him, and a little bit of a slap, a little bit of a slap. Then he stumbles. The moment the person stumbles, the rocks start flying. And they're throwing rocks at Stephen. Somehow he gets to his feet. They're pelting him with rocks. If you've been to Israel, you've seen those rocks. Those rocks are like glass. And the flesh, skin, blood is flying. And a man by the name of Saul is standing there because he's the supervisor. He's watching to make sure it's all coming down right. Like ISIS. And Stephen is bleeding everywhere. And he looks up and he says, I see the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. I see the heavens opened. And the Bible says that they who looked at him, his face looked like an angel. And when he fell to the ground as they pelted him with rocks, he said, Lord, don't charge this against them. That's not human. That's superhuman. And it says when they were done killing Stephen, they went and they gathered their clothes that they had laid at the feet of a young man named Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee. That same man met Jesus and became Paul the Apostle. And I think, I'm making this part up now, I think from that moment on, Paul was haunted by the confidence and boldness and joy that Stephen had. Why? Because Stephen saw beyond the rocks, beyond the hatred, into the throne room of God. And that's how you and I should look every day. Father, open our eyes to see. This morning we yield to you, Lord, the eyes of our soul. We submit to you this morning the vision, Lord, of our spirit. Correct our vision, Lord. Do surgery if you must. But cause us now, Father, to stop looking at the immediate and look beyond to the glory beyond the test that awaits all those who trust in you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Relevant Christian. Thanks for listening today. There is life on the other side of suffering, so don't give up. For God does indeed have in store a greater purpose for your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, do you have a close friend who's different from you in almost every way? A friendship that on the outside seems unlikely, but on the inside, it makes perfect sense. Well, there once was a printer and a preacher who came from separate countries and followed different philosophies, but not only became fast friends, but they were two of the most famous men in America. The printer was hardworking, inventive, often quite funny and yet practical with humble manners. And the preacher, on the other hand, he was boisterous, often gathering outdoor crowds by the thousands, proclaiming that you must be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven. Who were these two men who together established both the spiritual and the social foundations for young America? Pastor Jack's book of the month for October is The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson. It's the story of the powerful and amazing friendship of Benjamin Franklin and George Whitefield. The Printer and the Preacher is not only inspiring, but it's a book that you'll want to get an extra copy of to share with your close friend. And who knows, maybe together you can help make the world a better place as you share the love of Jesus Christ to those around you. The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, that's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.